The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Jones and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometowns and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So in today's Gospel reading, home field was no advantage, held no advantage for Jesus, right? Instead, his town folks took offense. "We know this man, little Jesus, all grown up. We know his people, his background, his family secrets. What can he teach us?" And isn't that still true for Jesus' home team? And by home team, I mean Christians who've been members of a congregation for a long time. Don't worry, I'm not going to pick on you too much. See, when you've been a member for a long time, you can't help but see the wizard behind the curtain. What I mean is that you see behind people's Sunday game faces. I mean, you've seen people, if you've been a longtime member, in real life, behind the wheel of a car, or not being very kind to a waiter, or gossiping about each other, or maybe even being a bit unethical. Or you've seen the preacher behind the wheel, etc. Or you get distracted by the candles on the altar that are crooked, or the flowers that are too small or not artistic enough, or the bread that's too crumbly, right? See how tempting it is to completely focus on meaningless things and miss that Almighty God meets us here. Here, through word and sacrament, through the words of sinful clergy and sinful lay people, whether or not the sanctuary or the music are perfect. Although we don't like to admit it, don't even think we should admit it, the home team spends quite a bit of time on the bench, I think, with the unbelievers. I think it's safe to say that Jesus continues to be amazed at the unbelief of his home team. In comparison, new Christians, new folks to a congregation, new pastors, find church and worship and everything exciting and fresh and a bit other and alight with God. Whereas for the home team, we know there's a man behind the curtain and not the wizard when it comes to setting up the sanctuary. We know the people, the history, the family secrets, the behind-the-scenes info. And the concrete act of ushering sinful lay people, or typing up a sermon when you're dry, or practicing scales and hymns to people who don't always stay in key. Preparing the table for communion can somehow take the mystique out of our worship together. Not only that, but it's easy to get distracted by the nuts and bolts themselves, to focus on things or people, and completely miss that Jesus has come into our midst. Once again, healing and curing and teaching and preaching. So what am I suggesting? That members should not get to know one another too well? As if. No, I'm just stating reality, the truth, that Jesus continues to be amazed by our unbelief. However, that didn't stop Jesus from continuing to heal and minister in his hometown before he left. And that doesn't stop him from meeting us right here every time we gather in his name, through the word and the sacraments, meeting us right in the midst of our unbelief. Because Jesus has enough belief to make up for our lack of it. And by belief, I'm not talking about an intellectual assent, something that happens in the head, but something that happens in the heart. Trust. Jesus has enough trust in God to share with all of us. Jesus proved his trustworthiness to us on the cross so that we can trust Jesus even with our unbelief. Jesus himself, the risen Christ, comes among us week after week through the word that I'm preaching to you right now and the word that we sing and speak together. Jesus comes through the bread and wine and lays hands on us just as he did in his hometown. Jesus comes in our midst to heal our self-centeredness and blindness, that deep sickness that plagues all human beings. Through the word and the meal, Jesus takes our unbelief from us and gives us belief that we might not even be able to see at times. Week after week, he takes our distrust, our sins, he takes the weight of the world from our shoulders and gives us his peace and comfort. He gives us an eternal identity. He reminds our baptismal identity. He reminds us of that every week. And we need it week after week because we too are a rebellious house, a rebellious people, just like the people to whom Ezekiel preached. See, that's the trouble with the home team. We're kind of a stubborn group at heart. And if we notice when our mind is on the how, the candles of worship, instead of the who, if we realize we're judging our neighbor instead of being in the presence of the Creator who forgives, the best thing to do is simply fess up and be honest. Lord, I believe, help this unbelief. And Jesus promises to give us his own. He calls us by name at communion, gives us his own belief week after week, and then sends us out into the world just as he sent out those first disciples, entrusting us to share the good news we've experienced in our daily walks in life. Because there are people who so yearn to hear a word of healing in the face of so much tragic news in our world or in their own lives. There are people in your daily walks who yearn to hear about the gracious God who is among us today. We're sent out of this place one by one or two by two to tell those who yearn to be healed where they can come to get it. It's that simple and it's that imperative. Amen.